The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
You don't produce a Kieran Kilkenny or an Oisín Mullen. You don't produce them overnight. They take time, takes a lot of work. Massive loss for his club, but he's meant for professional sports.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette. Proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Daniel Harris is with us this morning. Daniel, good morning to you.
Hello.
Any thoughts on the Ballon d'Or before we get to Ralf Rangnick?
I caught the end of your conversation there, and I felt like I could see why Messi won it, in that ultimately he probably is still the best player in the world, and winning a trophy with Argentina is probably what swung it in the end. I can see why it went to him. I could have seen if it would have gone to Lewandowski as well. It wasn't a year where you felt like there was someone who was miles and miles ahead of everyone else. But I think with Messi, we need to be careful not to say, well, he didn't have such a good year this year, because it wasn't as mind-bogglingly ridiculous as what he was doing when he was at his peak, because what he did for anyone else would still have been mind-bogglingly ridiculous.
Yeah, it's true. We do kind of forget that he's completely recalibrated our expectations for what is a good season and a great season. It seems like a kind of funny time of the year to be announcing the best player of the year. It's like it's the end of November, and like Salah's form over the last 3 months has been so good, but I don't know. Anyway, look, this isn't that important.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Football takes place in seasons, not in calendar years.
Yeah, it's a bit mad. So, did he win it for last season? It is a calendar year.
Yeah, it wouldn't be up until last season, wouldn't it have been?
I need to look that up properly, so before I weigh in heavily with the hot take on the Ballon d'Or that I don't really believe in. Let's talk about Ralf Rangnick, though, because obviously there's been plenty of time for this to percolate through to the Man United fans and kind of see exactly what they think about it. What do you think about it?
I think it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. It seems like a good appointment, but you never know. We've seen five if you count Ryan Giggs, five people fail post Fergie. So you can't really be sure at this point what it's going to take to succeed. I think what's good about Rangnick is, I think this squad will be good for him because he likes young players, he likes running, and this squad has lots of good young players, hasn't been running enough. I think that's going to stop. I think that he will have a vision of what he wants from the team and how he intends them to play, and I think he'll be ruthless in making sure that he imposes that. And I think among the various things that did follow Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, lack of ruthlessness was a really big one. In that, before he got the job, he was actually was quite ruthless. He got rid of Fellaini, he got rid of Lukaku very quickly. But subsequent to that, if he came across players he doesn't like or who weren't doing it for him, he kept giving them chances and chances and chances. And when players performed badly for him, he kept carried on picking them. I don't think that'll happen under Rangnick, who has the backing of the board, who has political capital, who has a history to show that people should do what he says. And I think that will be important, speaking personally, but also I think in a way speaking culturally. The kind of football that Rangnick plays is the kind of football that I want to watch, and also the kind of football that has succeeded at United. United's best teams have all been power teams. They haven't been possession teams. And personally for me, like when I go to football, I want to stand behind the goal and I want my personal space interfered with. I want invaded. I want it to be dirty and I want it to be primal. And that is what I want to see represented on the pitch as well. And I think that's what we'll see from Rangnick's team. And that's not to say I'm saying that possession football's no good or isn't something I can also enjoy watching. I'm just saying that this is a personal thing for me, what I want to see. And I also think it's what the majority of United fans want to see, because it's what we've been raised on. And I think it's what people will find it easy to get behind. There are obviously some drawbacks. I think one of them is that, I mean, your classic Paul Mersons will say, well, why hasn't he ever managed a big club? And I think there are reasons as to why that is, to do with the fact that big clubs tend not to like disruptors necessarily, and also just the way circumstance sometimes works out. I do wonder, as you always wonder, I feel like with players who haven't ever managed very many superstars, if they know the difference between a really, really good player and a superstar, an elite-level player, and whether they understand that sometimes you have to make allowances for those people. Because Rangnick is obviously very is obviously very implacable about everything's for the team, and that is true, everything is for the team, but sometimes the team needs to allow a little bit of leeway for someone whose contribution to the team deserves that little bit of leeway. We saw it with Eric Cantona, we've seen it with Roy Keane, we saw it with Cristiano Ronaldo. And I guess that brings us on to Ronaldo, that he's coming into a situation where generally someone who runs as much as Cristiano does is not exactly the kind of player that Rannick tends to deploy, but he has to deploy Ronaldo because he's one of the best players in the team, and without him this season, United would be in even more of a mess than they already are. So I think that that would be one of his jobs, is to find a way of keeping the high energy pressing going whilst retaining Ronaldo, and I think that should be something of which he's capable.
Okay. What about the short-term nature of the whole deal? I get the point on the ruthlessness. It'd be difficult for him to come in and make significant changes in the next transfer window, for example, if he didn't feel like he was somehow a position of importance over the next 2 years. That whole two-year consultancy thing, what do you think that means in practice?
I actually think that credit, I would give credit for that to John Murtagh and Darren Fletcher, because neither of them are experienced in building football clubs. I don't know that much about John Murtagh, but Darren Fletcher was someone, when he was a player, I thought would be a good manager or a good coach or something, because he's a player. Obviously, he played under Alex Ferguson, which is no guarantee of success, as we've learned, but he's someone you had to think very hard about how best to adapt his game. He's a great talker, he's a really clever guy, and he's brilliant when he talks about the football. Extremely compelling, extremely detailed, says things you haven't thought of. So I think what him and Murtagh have done is they've probably diluted their power slightly for the benefit of the club, and they've done it in order to learn. And I think as well as coaching the players, Rannick is also going to be coaching the coaches, and he's going to be coaching them. And I think that two-year consultancy will be really helpful in getting United to a position where the people in the club are good. And so I think that what that's going to happen is you're going to have that level of continuity, where you're going to have someone who doesn't just depart after 6 months, but who's able to impart the things, the principles that he agrees with, not just in terms of play, but in terms of running a club and inculcating those principles throughout. And so I think that's a very good idea to keep him on. I mean, I presume it was his idea, because why would you leave a job just for 6 months to then be cut adrift when you're not going to go and employ someone different? But Rannick looks a lot like someone you want involved in your football club. His track record tells us that. So anything United can do to keep him involved seems like a good thing.
And Daniel, do you not think it's like the main point of this 6 months should be to actually get everything lined up in terms of the mentality in that squad for who the next manager should be? In terms of, there's no point in him coming in and in kind of putting his philosophy into what the team should be and what putting demands on players, if at the end of it they go for a manager to take over who would be completely different. Surely he should be coming in here now to set the base for what's going to come next.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think United are going to suddenly go and appoint someone like Louis van Gaal, right, who plays that kind of football. They've made a decision. Fletcher and Murtagh have made the decision that the kind of football they want to play is fast, physical, attacking football. What I guess United supporters know as United football. Mm. And so they've appointed, that's what Fletcher and Murtagh want. And that was what they said that he wanted and couldn't quite deliver. And they've appointed someone who's going to inculcate that football throughout the club, and who's going to be involved in the appointment of his successor. And that person is going to be someone who plays that kind of football too. I don't think, yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely certain that's what they're going to do now.
Because you wonder as well, with United, it makes absolute perfect sense for that to happen, but there's been no sense to a lot of what has happened over the last few years. So you kind of do wonder, like, surely they would say, well, regardless of what you do in the 6 months, you're going to be a consultant for after this. Like, surely those conversations have been happening where they say...
Even if it goes horribly wrong?
Pardon me?
Even if it goes horribly wrong? Because, you know, these...
I don't honestly see how much more horribly wrong you can go.
Say there's no improvement.
So they get walloped 5-0 at Anfield. It doesn't seem likely, because it happens usually whenever all the managers post Fergie, whenever they've been fired at a point where you more or less feel like it's not possible for anyone else to get any less out of this squad. And we've seen it with Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick has never been a manager before, but it got so bad under Ole that he's immediately found two better results and two performances with much more discipline defending than before, because it wasn't possible for it to get worse. And United have really good players. The idea that it won't get better from here, it just seems unlikely because those players are good.
Sorry for cutting across there. No, I think, you know, this could be a really, really kind of almost seismic in terms of how the future of Old Trafford will be shaped. Because as you were saying, if John Moore and Darren Fletcher are saying, we want fast, dynamic, attacking football, and this is the man who basically has created this culture in German football, and if he can't get it out of these players in 6 months, well then, it's going to be clear for Old Trafford then that this is either going to be maybe a 2-year project or it could be a 10-year project in terms of actually we need to get rid of a lot of players in this squad. And again, all that might sound a bit dramatic, right, but seriously, it's true. Like, there's very good players in that Man United team, but if Ranić actually cannot improve them and cannot get them to play to a level where they actually show some sort of basis to do it, well then that is going to be serious problems. Because like, the United have been, it's been said for so long, United are a team of, say, individuals who can create moments. But so if a manager of Ranić's calibre, who has been able to mould clubs and create them in his vision or whatever you want to call it, can't do it with a calibre of players like this, well then there's serious problems. Really,
yeah, of course. But I mean, that's why they've appointed him, because that's not what's meant to happen next. And there are so many good players that you would expect it to get better. The question will always be whether it can get better enough, and that's the unknown. And you couldn't really say that for sure about anyone. Maybe Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola would be the only managers where you'd be certain that if you employed them, then they would get you to a point, a level at which you wanted to be. And Guardiola, even with Guardiola, he's always had the best players in the league. In every league, in every job that he's had, he's always had the best players. And United don't currently have the best players. The question is whether Ranić is able to turn the potential into the best players. And I think the signs there, the portents are good, because that is what he does. He'll obviously have to make some important signings as well, but they don't need that many signings. There are loads of really good players in attack. It's kind of the back end of the team, the defensive end of the team, where you wonder quite what he's going to make. And I'm sure that he'd be able to get performances out of Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood. The question is whether he decides that he has defenders good enough to play the way he wants to play. And if he doesn't, then he is going to have to buy some, because they're not there at the club.
Klopp, obviously, it took him a while to get going at Liverpool. He clearly came in and had immediate authority and knew that there was a long-term plan. But it wasn't like they surged up the table the first day he arrived in, and it wasn't one training session fixed everything. I'm just checking here. They finished 8th in the Premier League at the end of his first season. Now, granted, he didn't have the full season. But I'm just saying that it's possible that it takes a while for everything to wash through. And
agree. I mean, I wrote this at the weekend, that Ranić's got a decision to make about whether he comes in and just tries to change as little as possible for now whilst making it better, or whether he takes, that's a low-risk, low-reward approach probably, or whether he really tries to impose everything that he wants now, which means it might not get better very quickly. But I think the difference with Klopp, and I think why Tuchel coming to Chelsea is a better comparison, is the quality of the players. United finished second last season. They got to the Europa League final. They ended up on their arse very quickly. But this isn't the kind. It's not a massive rebuild in the way that Klopp turned up at Liverpool, and Liverpool were in a much worse condition than United were in terms of the players that they had, in terms of how well they were doing, and therefore, like, imposing something different on them was a bigger job. For Ranić, he definitely has to impose a different style. He needs to get the players running more, but he's got young players who can run. So it's simply a matter of telling them to do it and making them do it. And if they don't do it, you leave them out and you replace them with the other good players that you have. I don't think Klopp quite had that. And I'm not saying that I expect Ranić to come in and immediately, like, the pressing triggers are all there and this, that and the other. And really, what Tuchel did at Chelsea, he did an amazing job. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he didn't do an amazing job. But ultimately, the first thing that he did was he made them very difficult to beat.
Yeah.
He played with 3 centre-backs, two wing-backs who were both defenders, and 2 midfielders in front of them. And then allowed the front players to win them games. And it worked pretty well in the league, not perfectly in the league, and it worked well enough to make them champions of Europe. Now, I'm not sure United have the defensive players that are good enough to exactly ape that, but they absolutely have the attacking players to make sure they score a couple of goals in every game, and they have good enough defensive players to be much more solid than they have. And that's one of the reasons I always felt United were a decent threat in this season's Champions League, because if they can just defend with some discipline, they have the firepower to beat anyone over two legs, I think.
Let's talk about some of those individual players, right? Like, there were definitely some players who responded well to the Solskjaer era, and we saw Luke Shaw put in the best football of his career, although it has tailed off. Is there a possibility that the quality of coaching will just go up now to the point where suddenly players who have been cast off, like Bailly, for example, or Martial, for example, can become competent squad players and contribute? Is that the main hope here about how things could get better quickly? That individuals will decide that like Donny van de Beek might have a future all of a sudden?
I don't think it'll happen for Martial, partly because if United want to buy in January, he would be one of the most obvious players you would sell, get some money for, because ultimately he's not better. There are Rashford, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Mason Greenwood and Edison Cavani all better than he is. It's just simply he's the fifth best attacker at United, and United have Anthony Elanga coming through, who's also going to be a player. So I don't think it'll happen for Martial. But he's a more interesting one, because when United bought him, he clearly had talent. He had a lot of the raw attributes that you would want in a centre-back. He hadn't played that much football. He doesn't appear to have been coached particularly well, but also he can't stay fit. So he is one that you would definitely think there's something to work with. He is now old enough so that you feel that at his age, generally, the player you see is the player that there is. But he, as we saw on Sunday, played pretty well on Sunday, but he just can't reliably stay fit. Like, Eric Bailly's top level is arguably makes him the second best defender at United, but his bottom level makes him the worst defender at United, and you're never sure what you're going to get with him. So it may be that Rannick turns up and thinks that he fancies him and can coax his top level of performance out of him regularly, and he can stay fit. But those are some big ifs. And ultimately, if a decent offer came in for him and United needed the money to strengthen, I'm pretty sure they'd take it.
Okay, what about somebody like Lindelof? Is Harry Maguire undroppable?
No, I don't think so. I think he'll probably come back against Arsenal. But I think that he was Ole's choice as captain, so that becomes slightly different. He's not Rannick's choice as captain, so dropping him probably is a little bit less stressful for him. I think that if he doesn't play better, he will absolutely get dropped. I didn't ever really think that he was quite as good a centre-back as I wanted United to have. Centre-backs who can't run, elite-level centre-backs who can't run, that's not a very long list. There's Franco Baresi and then not that many others. So I think that whenever you get a new manager, it's an opportunity for all the players. But similarly, all the players who are automatic choices are also under pressure. So if you look at the way Rannick likes to play, for example, he tends to like a 4-2-2-2. And the two behind the centre-forwards tend to be wingers. Now, that means that finding Bruno Fernandes a spot is not easy. And he's going to someone... I mean, he's the best player in the team. And he's someone who's going to need to earn his spot, probably, like everybody else. And so, in that sense, it's a good challenge for all the players. And you'll see which players have got the stomach for it and which players don't.
Can he make Ronaldo press? Is that possible, that actually nobody's asked Ronaldo? You know, by the way, there's a style of play here. It will involve you doing this. Let's do it.
I don't think that when we talk about pressing, we don't necessarily mean charging about from defender to defender like Carlos Tevez. It can sometimes be a matter just of standing on your centre-back who had been marking you 2 minutes before, 20 seconds before anyway, or blocking a passing lane. It doesn't necessarily require a lot of sprinting from every player. It requires sprinting from some players and the team acting in concert. And so I don't think that Cristiano Ronaldo is someone for whom it is impossible to press. He's not going to be sprinting out to the flanks chasing fullbacks, but I don't think that standing on a centre-back and blocking a passing lane is something that is beyond him, even at his age.
So you remember, wasn't it one of those clips that came out from Rangnick about his philosophy, talking about it's either you can't do a little bit of something, it's either there's no such thing as a little bit of pressing, it's like a little bit of pregnant. I thought that was a good line. It is, and it's like what you were saying earlier, Daniel, about the fact that, like, does he come in and change as little as possible to kind of maybe improve things, or rip things up, I suppose. And you get the sense, even from reading about him and how he operates, that it is all or nothing with him. And that, I know, I think you're spot on in what you're saying there about, say Ronaldo. It could just be as simple as splitting your centre backs and moving a couple of yards over, just to almost force the play to one position where then those lads are the ones who actually put in the harder yards. It's just whether or not Ranić kind of utilises that, or actually, and again, coming back to what you were saying about realising that when you have an elite player, when you have a player of who can change a game for you, that you have to maybe adapt a little bit for that. And I do think with United and with Ronaldo, they are in that territory, in the sense that, like, I think if he's there in the beginning, I think you do have to play him, and you do kind of operate around him, because he is a player, and where United are at the moment, where they still will rely on maybe at that moment actually seal a game. Like, I don't buy into this thing of it was the right thing to do to drop him, even though he got a draw against Chelsea, because you never know how the game could have went if he was there. And it was obviously clear that Carrick just didn't trust him the way they wanted to do it. He hadn't got the time to do to work on it enough, where he could actually work with a system to keep Ronaldo in the team and still operate with that kind of bit more pressure. It's going to be up to Ranić to have that Tuchel effect, almost, where he can do it really quickly. And also, like, and this is where it comes into it, when at a club like United, like, the commercial side of things and the kind of stuff that's happening behind the scenes, if Ronaldo is dropped to the bench for a few weeks, it's not long before it becomes very messy. Like, that's just how a club like United operates.
I don't think that's going to be a problem for now, because there are so many games for the next couple of months, and he's not going to play them all because he's 36. So I don't see that being a problem right now. I think the problem will always come with Ronaldo if the manager feels he can't pick him for the biggest games, and that will start to attract attention. But I don't think that's necessarily likely at the beginning, because Carrick left him out against Chelsea because I think he just wanted to make sure that United didn't get beaten. But United could easily have got beaten. I actually felt like I didn't mind him leaving Ronaldo out particularly. I mean, I thought that he shouldn't have brought him on when he did. Felt when he brought him on, things were actually going quite well. I mean, it seemed like Sancho had a knock, but it felt like that actually wasn't. He didn't particularly help coming on in that game. But it's a squad game, and you'll always try and use all the players available to you that you think are good. And with Ronaldo, also, what Ranić likes, the fullbacks high and wide. So if you've got the fullbacks high and wide, and you've got Ronaldo on a centre back, and you've got the other centre forward, and you've got another, and you've got at least one attacking midfield player, probably two, then you've got enough to press there, and you've still got four players back. You've still got the two holding midfield pairs back, and the two centre backs back, and maybe one of the fullbacks too. So I don't think that it's impossible to press properly with Ronaldo at all.
No.
I don't think that'll be a problem. I think that it might be that Ranić wants a bit more pace on the counter than you get from Ronaldo these days. And there's definitely a vision that I think most United supporters have, that some point in the not too distant future, you've got a front three of Rashford, Greenwood and Sancho. And I'm sure they'll be working towards that, and maybe even thinking about a different centre forward to buy. But Ronaldo isn't the future, but he's still the present, much as people would like to write him out of that.
One last question for you. What have you heard about how many people Ranić is going to bring with him, and the status of the people who are already there? Carrick looks...
I don't know about that. It does look like they're all going to somehow survive, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he'll want one or two to bring with him, but I don't know who they are. But the talk from people who say that they know seems to be that the jobs of those that are already there are safe.
Okay. Well, it's interesting anyway. You sound excited by the whole thing.
I mean, it's always exciting when you get a new manager, unless that new manager was David Moyes. I definitely recall being unexcited by that one. And funny, because I remember always thinking in the back of my mind, it'd be quite exciting when Fergie goes to... Because it'd be the first time in 20 years you think, what's going to happen?
How wrong you
were. Yeah, and then they appointed Moyes, and it was just like, oh, now I know what's going to happen. But all the other managers after Fergie, I was really interested to see how they did. And Ranić is something different. He's something very different from what we've seen before. And I think he's going to make it really interesting. And United's combination now of talent, money, and brain is something that that's something that's exciting for people to, that's something for United supporters to watch, and should make it very interesting at the top of the league. Probably not this season, like the league's obviously gone. United's still in the hunt for fourth, and they've got a run of games now, which, I mean, I guess I always felt that if they were in the hunt for the title at when they at the after the end of the full time the Arsenal game on Thursday, then they'd have a really good chance of winning the league, because the run they have now is one where you'd expect them to accumulate a lot of points. Obviously they're nowhere near the league, but the run that they have now, I still expect them to accumulate points that should put them in a decent, within with a decent chance of fourth. And by the time the Champions League starts again, Rannick should have had a decent opportunity to get them playing how he wants, and that is a cup competition. I think it might take them a midfield to actually do some serious damage. It might take a midfield player in January, but that shouldn't be.
The line's gone.
So the season is not over. It's not where United wanted it to be, but it should at least not be boring to watch the rest of it.
No, for sure. Daniel, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers. See you again, everyone. Have a good day.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.